We did pray for the men as well this morning. Quite a few of them are away this weekend at Camp Kintail, working there. So thanks, Al, for being on the sound instead of playing the mandolin down here. See, this is what we do to them. We just put them in a place and say, you go do this, and they'll just do that. Thanks for doing that. Today's the last in our little series on joy, and maybe you'll say, thank goodness, you can preach on something else as well. We're going to end the series with one more ingredient that Paul gives us in this journey of finding joy in our lives. And the ingredient this morning that we're going to talk about, and you're going to find that, and I'm going to read that in a second, in Philippians chapter 4, it's the ingredient called being content. Being content. So as I was reading in Philippians 4, I asked myself the question, if you were to look at your life now, when last have you really been content with your life? When is the last time that you've been really, really content? And the moment I asked that, I had to ask the second question. Because maybe the second question should have been first. What does it mean to be content? Because I think sometimes we associate being content with being comfortable, or with well-being, or with having enough. Enough power, enough position, enough influence, enough of this, enough of that. Or maybe we think, I'll be content if I just know my children are out of the house, they're in school, and they're going to go take care of themselves. Then I'll be content. I'll be content when I know that my job is secure and everything is working perfect and I can take care of everything. Then I'm content. The problem is, and we saw this last week, if that's where we try and find our contentment, it'll only end up in disaster. Because there will always be something better and something more and someone better than me and someone who has more than me and someone who looks better than me, and we'll just land in that vicious circle of being envious and struggling. So against this little backdrop, let's see what Paul says about being content. So I'm going to read three pieces from Philippians chapter 4. We're going to do verse 10 to 13 first. And then I'm going to read verse 6 and 7 a little later from the Amplified Bible. And then way later, I'm going to take you to chapter 3, verse 20 to 4, verse 1. But don't worry, I'll remember and I'll take you to the right ones. Ted, if we can do verse 10 to 13, Philippians 4. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. But I can do all this through Him, Christ, who gives me strength. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Can you see what Paul does here? He just turns this thing of what we think about content right upside down. World says, I'm content when I have enough of whatever. Paul says, I was hungry, really hungry. And guess what? I was content. I had more than I needed. Guess what? I was content. world says, I need power, position, influence. Then I'm content. Paul sits in jail. No power, no position, no influence, nothing. Paul says, and I am content. The world says, I need comfort, security. Paul writes, whatever the circumstance, I have learned to be content. Boy, that's a little different. That's a little different from what we usually go find. You see, here's the thing. Paul reminds us of this whole thing of joy that he's been saying right from the beginning. My joy and my contentment does not come from my circumstances. They go beyond my circumstances. Actually, Paul says, let me tell you a secret about contentment. Secret is not something that's hidden. He says, let me give you the key to contentment. He says, I, verse 13, and this is the one that you will hear at my funeral if you are there one day, because it's my favorite verse. I can do all of this through Christ, through Him who gives me strength. Just think about that for a second. The world thinks contentment comes because of the what I have, what I am, what I've achieved, what is all around me. It never works. It's not contentment. Paul says, no, I'm not content because of the what. I'm content because of the who. Whose I am. Who is with me. Who cares for me. Who is always there. Who is never away, whatever the circumstance. It's not about the what's. That's where we get it wrong. It's about the who. Whose are you? But here's the thing. I kind of look at Paul and it scares me. I feel a little intimidated, right? Because it seems like Paul's just got this contentment thing down pat. And it doesn't take prison to get me off my contentment moment, right? It just takes my neighbor 3 weeks in a row cutting trees next door. Goes my contentment, right? So I look at Paul and it just feels like, but Paul, you got all of this down. But then I read this little piece again and I realized, hold on, here's a word. Verse 11 and verse 12, he uses the same word. I have learned to be content. And then I took heart. Because contentment isn't something that you have or you don't have. Contentment is something that you can learn, that you can cultivate, that you can grow. I have learned to be content, even when I'm in jail or when I'm sitting in the palace with the king, when I'm able to speak the gospel or when they put me over this box and they hit me 39 times. I have learned the secret of being content because I know whose I am. And through Him, I can do all of these things. Whether I'm hungry or not hungry. Whether I'm happy or whether I'm heartbroken. Whether things are working out perfectly well or things are not working at all. I have learned the secret. Question. Have you learned the secret of being content? So let me give you two things to take with this morning. The first thing, I think content people are people who have learned to cast their cares upon God. Sometimes we think we have to carry them all. Carry the burdens? No, we don't have to. listen how Paul says this, and this is where I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, and it's going to be on the screen. I like it because it explains a little better. It's so cool. It's one of my, again, Philippians 4 is the passage of my life. I just love this passage. I can read it every day. But I love the way in which it explains the verses 6 and 7. So read with me. Paul says, remember we're saying, content people are people who have learned to cast their cares upon God. So hear how Paul says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance, every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, that peace is yours. Content people are people who have learned to do exactly this. To come and say, here are my cares. Here are my things that make me anxious. Here are my worries. Here are the things that are stealing. Remember the joy stealers that we did second week? The things that steal my joy. Here they are, Lord. And can I just give them to you? But I love, Ted, can you go one slide back? I just love that beautiful last line in verse 6. With prayer, petition, and thanksgiving to continue to make your, and I love that little word in brackets that they put in there, specific requests known to God. I think sometimes this is where we miss out. We kind of say, God, take care of all my children, and God, take care of the world, and God, that's kind of general. Sometimes I think God just needs us to be a little specific. Not because God doesn't know I need $10 or $100. He knows that. But God needs me to realize what's taking my joy away. What's making me anxious? And the moment I can say it, then God can work with it. Do you get it? I think we don't. Paul says, you don't have because you don't ask. Specific needs. Let me give you, forgive me, the best examples are the ones in your own life, but they're also the worst examples. When God called our family to come work in Canada, that was an interesting time. My sweet Elsie's mom was on her last, and we had to leave her. I had to leave her mother and father and take their only grandchildren because I'm their only child, take them away and come and do God's work in this place. And we said, we want to do that. But here's the interesting thing. When I sat the kids down and we prayed and I said, kids, this is what God's putting in my heart and this is where I think God is leading us. This young Elri who stood here this morning singing and my eldest son, Jockey, they said, no way. I'm not going to do this. You got God wrong, Dad. This is not what we've got to do. The middle guy, Stephen, he's just, yeah, let's do this. I'm good for anything because that's just how Steve is. So I said to Elsie when we went to bed, can't do this. I thought this is what God wanted, where he's leading us, because there was so much of what God was showing. But if God does not bring us together as a family in unity, this cannot be what God wants. So let's leave this. So all the stuff I got from the Presbyterian Church in Canada, I just dumped it in the bottom drawer and I left it there. And I went on with my life. I thought, boy, God did not let go of me. He was giving me a hard time for a whole year. I was struggling. I had no joy. I was working. I was trying to work like a crazy man to just do this. No contentment. No joy. One morning when I dropped the kids off at school, Elsie was working. I'm alone in my study at home. There was this beautiful garden next to my study, glass window that I could just look out, a little waterfall. And I was doing my devotions and just being calm with the Lord. But I was anxious. And I said to God, I'm tired of you. I can't do this anymore. I am overwhelmed. There is no joy in my life. I don't get this. The kids don't want to go, Lord. And you are on my back like a burden. I don't know what you want anymore. I'm done with you. I want a sign now. You better show me, because otherwise I don't know what I'm going to do. Man, sometimes we can. But in any case, God forgives those moments too. So I felt a little better after that, because I said to God, I can't do it anymore. And I'm done with this now. If you don't show me now, I'm done. As if I can say that to the mighty God. But you can. If you can't say it to God, who do you say it to? Right? That evening, I had to go pick Jacques up at the choir. And it was 9 o'clock at night. So I drive out to school. Christo, past Loftus Versfeld, where we watch so much rugby. Pick old Jacques up at the school. Gets in the car. We drive back. As we pass Loftus, Jacques says to me, Dad, this thing about Canada, what are you doing about that? I nearly hit the lamppost. No one knew that I prayed that morning. No one knew what my prayer was that morning. I can't answer Jacques. He says, Dad, because, you know, I've been praying all this year. And I think God has said to me that that's what we should be doing, Dad. Whew. I can't even speak. I said to God, I'm tired of you. I can't do this anymore. You got to show me something. And here my boy was praying. Well, the rest of the story, you know. We did come because we had to. But can you hear what I'm trying to say to you? Do you know what that does? That does to you when you speak to Almighty God, my Father. And sometimes I'm just a little rude and I don't even realize, but my Father answers my prayer in a way like that, that just stuns you. But he takes time to do that. So can I ask you this morning, is there something that makes you anxious? There's something that right now is just taking your contentment, your joy. That's hard, and you don't know how to handle that. Have you taken that to Father and just said, Father, this is it? Can I just say this to you and give this to you and leave that with Father? And I know you're going to say, but Aubrey, sometimes I'm a little scared to do this because, forgive me, it happens when you have a little tear coming down your eye. And I know that you're saying, but sometimes, Aubrey, I've done that and God has just been silent. Or maybe God has answered in a way that I didn't want him to answer. And that's scary. And I know that because I've also had the silent moments. I had it for a whole year. I get it. I've also had the answers that I would have wanted differently. I'm sure my mom and dad would have said, don't let him go. But God had a plan. If you just think of it for 1 second, the man who writes this, Paul, this little letter comes from the time when he was sitting, not the first time, in jail. And all Paul's doing is doing God's work, sitting in that jail. And I'm sure in that jail, when Paul was sitting there, he had many of these moments where God was just quiet and it was all silent around Paul. And yet Paul can write, when you speak, the peace of God that goes beyond your comprehension will bring the contentment. Not the answer. Not the answer that I wanted. The peace will come because I asked. Do you get it? The peace doesn't come because I get an answer or the answer I want. The peace comes when I ask. Think of those words again. Verse 6, verse 7. Do not, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, be anxious or afraid of anything. Anything. And then he juxtaposes that. But in everything, make your needs, your petitions, your struggles, make them known to God through prayer, petition, and that big word, third G, thanksgiving, gratitude, and thanksgiving. And when you do that, that peace, the peace that you want, the peace that you need, the peace that you long for, the peace that goes beyond this thing, will come, and it will guard your heart and your mind. Contentment comes when we ask, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the answer or the silence. Peace comes. Contentment comes when we ask. Please ask. Content people have learned to cast their cares on God because we can't carry them. One more thing, then I'll end. Content people live today in the light of eternity. Read with me, chapter 3, verse 22, 4, verse 1. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my dear friends. How can I be content in every circumstance? I can do this, says Paul, through Christ, who gives me strength. I can't do it in my own strength. The world cannot do it for me. My circumstances can't do it for me. But Jesus can. And Jesus does. I can cast my cares upon Jesus. Even when everything is upside down. And I know that Jesus cares. I can give thanks. Even when I really don't feel like giving thanks. And when things are upside down. Because Jesus cares. I can live my life in His hands. Because what this world cannot do, Jesus can do. That's why He went to the cross. For me. That's why He died. So that you and I can have that life that He promises in John. That is filled with Him. In abundance. That's why he went into the grave and he rose from the grave, so that you and I can go to God. And the heart of God is open. And Jesus didn't do that because he was obliged to do that. Do you know why he did that? Go read the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2. He says he went to the cross because of the joy. Paul's word. The joy that stood before him. What joy? Do you think it's joy to be nailed to a cross? Do you think it's joy to be left on that cross alone and your father is not there? Do you think it's joy to go into death? The joy that stood before him was you and me and us in all of our brokenness and our hurt. And he knew if I did this for them, they would know where to go. Because what the world cannot give, Jesus can. What the world cannot do, Jesus can. Because he did it because of the joy that stood before him. How can I live a life of contentment in every and any situation? I can live that through Christ, who gives me strength. May the joy, the wild, wild joy of Jesus Christ overwhelm you every day. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer.